Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan exercised its playoff demons in Monday's Rose Bowl by beating Alabama 27-20 in overtime. It is now one win away from its first national championship since 1997. We break down the nail-biting action from the game and also sights and sounds from the post-game celebration ahead on Wolverine Confidential. Good afternoon to you, Aaron, on this. You know what? I don't even know what day it is anymore at this point. They're all blended together. With the Pacific time, Eastern time difference, who cares? Last night was, I don't even know where to start. If you're a Michigan fan right now and you were there, that's got to be just covering the game was probably, that's by far the most enjoyable, coolest experience I've ever had as a reporter. Just from the pageantry of the sight lines of the mountains in the background, the sun was out, perfect weather. And then the game was just incredible too. It's everything it's what sports are all about. And for Michigan to win in that way was pretty incredible. And they're moving on. And I guess, let's start. What were your overall thoughts on the game and the event?
It was incredible, just like you summed it up. I've been covering this team now since 2017, and I can't think of a more cooler day, just a game coverage-wise. Just from the scene, the venue, the everything. Like you said, the pageantry. We got to the stadium at 9:30 a.m.-ish Pacific time. So that would have been a good solid 5 hours ahead of time. And we're rolling in on the bus. They take us in, and there's thousands of people already parked, tailgating. It reminded me of a college campus, right? Where they get there super early and they're tailgating and having fun. And you had both fan bases. It was Michigan, Alabama. It was pretty well split. I give the edge to probably Michigan. It was probably, I guess, 55-45, but I don't know. It was a beautiful day. It was 65 degrees. The sun was shining. Everything you hear about the Rose Bowl, it lived up to, and I think even more.
Yeah, no, most definitely. This was the first time ever that typically when I get to the game, I'm like, all right, let's get the kickoff and get the game rolling. Yesterday was completely different. I'm like, I don't want the game to start yet. I want to soak everything in, just walking around, seeing all the people. Like you said, that both crowds were fantastic. It really added to the experience, and it's, yeah, just an incredible finish, incredible back and forth action. Both fan bases on edge for most of the game, and then euphoria at the end for the Wolverines. And we'll talk about the game here in a bit, but let's first talk about the post game celebration. Unfortunately, Andrew is traveling back to Michigan right now, so he couldn't join us on the pod. But I encourage you to read his story on MLive.com. He was down on the field for the last 5 minutes of the game and in overtime, and captured some sights and sounds and what was going on, what it was like on field level during the game. So, but we had locker room access after the game, and it was quite the jubilant group afterwards. What stood out to you about everything that happened post game after they stopped Jalen Milroe on fourth down to clinch the win?
Yeah, that's just it. We've gone through this now 3 years in a row, and the previous 2 years, when they open the locker room, it's usually upset faces, anger, frustration, folks not wanting to talk, and rightfully so. You're upset, you're frustrated, and you just went through a loss. This year it was different because they won the game. They won. It was something that they haven't done in a very long time. We had talked about it coming in. Michigan was 1-6 in bowl games under Jim Harbaugh. This was the next hump they had to get over, and they were able to do it. Like you said, that fourth down play, that final play in overtime, I think was a hot topic in the locker room afterwards. Almost every player I spoke to, or I was in terms of interviewing, they were asked about it, and it was, it was obviously the big play. It sealed the game. They Jalen Milroe, it had become apparent throughout the game that whenever Alabama was in a pinch, Jalen Milroe was keeping the ball and running with it. He had trouble maybe early on finding some space, but as the game went on, he was finding holes and he was picking up big yardage. And it was one of the reasons why Alabama was able to take a lead for a while. But when it mattered most, and this team is, it seems like every time they've been in a pinch this year, and it hasn't been very often, the defense comes up. And that was the case on Monday night. I mean, you had fourth and goal from the three. Milroe took a poor snap and decided to run to the line of scrimmage, hoping he could bust through there and get the 3 yards for the touchdown. And, he was effectively met at the line of scrimmage. They might have technically given him a yard, but Michigan's defense was there to make the play, keep him out of the end zone and win the game. And it was, we've seen the celebrations now here for a few years, whether, it was winning the Big Ten championship or beating Ohio State, in 2021. But, I don't think emotionally anything topped Monday night. The confetti fell. They took the goalposts down. You had players, crying on the field, jubilant, as you said. It was quite the scene.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, that fourth down play, I mean, like you said, a lot of players were asked about that, and a lot of them were kind of expecting it to be, all right, they're going to keep it in Milroe's hands because that's what they had done. And you got to give Michigan's defense credit. Like, they're, it's not the same Alabama receiving core as they've had in the past with the Jalen Waddles, the Devontae Smiths, but I mean, they're still speed burners. They still got some talent, and Michigan basically shut down the passing game last night. And yeah, they kind of knew it was going to be Milroe's ball, and he's going to kind of make plays by himself. And they kind of read that play pretty well and stuffed the middle. And that really, the play had no chance of success right from the snap. And yeah, just fantastic job, especially from Michigan's front seven too, especially in the first half. The narrative going into the game was, can Michigan handle the size and physicality of Alabama in the trenches? And they did that, and they essentially bullied up front, which I don't think many people expected. I was shocked to see how much pressure they were getting on Milroe, especially early on. I mean, 5 sacks in the first half, 4 in the first 2 series, 6 for the game. That's against an Alabama team that prides itself on protecting the quarterback. And it wasn't just from one or two guys, five guys combined for the 6 sacks. You had the linebackers involved, the edge guys, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Chris Jenkins were beasts in the middle. Really just exceptional play from Michigan's defense.
It was. I mean, they were the unsung heroes, as they really kind of have been all season long. Whenever Michigan gets in a pinch, they've come through. And like you said, it wasn't just one guy. It was multiple guys. It seemed like early on, Jesse Minter was dialing up the blitzes. He was dialing up different things and giving Alabama different looks. And I think at some point, Milroe was unsure of himself, and I think you saw that. He fumbled the football at one time. They didn't try a ton of deep balls, which is something I was kind of expecting going in. It wasn't there. I don't think he had enough time to do that. So it really kind of impacted, I think, Alabama's game plan as a whole. And it had Alabama, I think, reeling in the first half. Michigan clearly outplayed them in the first 2 quarters. The yardage said so. They were beating them on the scoreboard. Now, you could make the case maybe the lead should have been a little bit bigger. But after that initial, first couple of drives by Michigan where J.J. McCarthy has the mistake throw and they give up a touchdown, I thought Michigan settled in relatively well, and especially the defense. I mean, it's kind of been the calling card the last couple of years, where even if they don't get off to the best of starts, they finish strong. And that was certainly the case on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I was completely, I'm not going to lie, in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, I was expecting the storylines to be like Michigan shot itself in its foot and it cost them the game in too many ways, too many costly mistakes. I mean, you look at the Samaj Morgan muff punt in the first half. They got lucky with J.J. McCarthy's first throw, which was almost resemblance of the Bowling Green game, where it's like, you're rolling out, there's nothing there, throw the darn ball away, man. Like, what are you doing? And he tries to make a play and threw it right to the Alabama safety. And fortunately for Michigan, he had stepped out of bounds before he caught the ball. I mean, that was just a wow play right from the start. But yeah, like the missing an extra point on a botched snap, like Jake Thaw. I mean, putting a guy that's cold in there to receive a punt inside his own 10 in the last minute of the game, and he fumbles that one and almost gets tackled for a safety. It's like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? And yet they made plays when they needed to, and the offense was shut out for most of the second half, only had 44 yards in their first four drives. And it's like, there's no way that this team's going to be able to march 75 yards to tie it up in crunch time. And they were able to do that. And really some incredible plays that got them in the end zone. I mean, the game was on the line, 4th and 2. I think Michigan had it on its own 33-yard line, I think. And if they don't convert there, I mean, Alabama is already in field goal range. A field goal makes it a 2-score game and season's over. But Sherrone Moore dials up a great play call. Blake Horam's wide open coming out of the backfield for a huge gain. And then Roman Wilson with one. I mean, Andrew was on the sideline and had a great view of it. And he kind of wrote about it a little bit on his story in his story. But like even from above, it's like you see it get tipped and you're like, oh, that's way high. It's if anyone's catching it, it's probably an Alabama guy. And 6-foot Roman Wilson leaps in out of nowhere and comes down with the ball somehow. Huge 29-yard gain. And then he kind of caps it off with his touchdown to tie it. Yeah, and then in overtime, I mean, Blake Horam's been the heartbeat of this offense now for a couple years. Wasn't able to play in last year's playoff game. And it's fitting that his record-breaking run sends Michigan to the national championship because it was one of the most impressive runs I've ever seen him have too. Like the just 5'8" and just pushing guys off him and just rumbling, tumbling into the end zone and crossing the goal line and the Michigan's defense did the rest. It was pretty remarkable performance there down the stretch.
Maybe the most impressive thing about that throw to Roman Wilson that you mentioned that was tipped, I mean, it still kept its spiral. It came out of JJ's hands perfectly. It got tipped, and it still made it to Roman Wilson almost the same. Typically, when those things are tipped, like misdirected, the spiral gets lost, the ball is deflected out, and it just kept going. It was something I don't know if I've ever seen before. It was impressive play. And then the pitch, I don't know if you mentioned, the pitch to Donovan Edwards, Donovan threw back to JJ, and he threw to Roman for the 20-yard completion. That was, I think, the first one. That was an impressive play too. Just the athleticism from JJ to catch it kind of one-handed, throwing, falling back and to let it go. I mean, there were a lot of plays that helped Michigan win this game. There were a lot of plays that nearly cost them too. And I think when you factor all of that in and you look at the other side, Alabama, they made some mistakes too. I mean, they had some poor snapping. They had Jalen Milroe was stripped to that fumble. They had issues too.
Bad time for their center to get the yips snapping the ball. Like that's, he had a rough game throughout, and that was huge. Like, I mean, even to start the second half, Alabama comes out and had a couple chunk plays and two bad snaps puts them at like 3rd and 1 million, and they're forced to punt after some plays where they got some momentum too. Even on the final play was a low snap. A lot of times in the first half, he's bending over to receive the snap, and that split second makes a difference in when you got the pass rushers coming in on you. So like that was definitely a key storyline. And there was my friend group chat, it was kind of making the joke. I'm like, do these teams even practice with some uncharacteristic miscues throughout the game? And in the end, it was Michigan making one more play than Alabama.
That's what happens on this stage, right? Unfamiliar, field, the big stage, it's a playoff semifinals, everyone's watching, and you saw it, you mentioned the yips. I mean, I think guys on both sides had them, Michigan, as well. So, I mean, good teams overcome that stuff, and I think that's why Michigan has been so successful this year. They haven't made a lot of mistakes. I mean, they're very good at forcing turnovers. They have very few penalties, and while, penalties necessarily didn't hurt them Monday night, the turnovers did, and mistakes did. And still they were able to come out on the other side of victorious, and it's pretty remarkable. And I think one of the underrated aspects of this Michigan team that maybe folks aren't paying attention to right now, and it was a big storyline going in, the offensive line, they play without Zach Zinter, There were questions about how they were going to hold up in the run game and even maybe some pass protection. And I thought, by and large, they played relatively well. JJ, I think, was sacked, there was one sack against Michigan. It was when Orji was in the game. So largely, JJ had a clean pocket. He had time to throw the ball, maybe, or some, and you could make the case, maybe too long. And they had held up really well. So kudos to them. If you go back and watch that Blake Corum rushing touchdown in overtime, you see Carson Barnhart pull out of the right guard spot, go all the way to the other side, the left side of the line and make a key block in that. So they played as a unit. They played well. Sherrone Moore was confident in the group going in. They clearly had done their homework and practiced well together, because, I mean, if you want to give an unsung hero award to someone, it would probably be the offensive line.
No, I 100% agree. I thought it could be big time trouble with some of the edge guys that Alabama has and some of the beef they have up front. And yeah, I mean, Trente Jones stepping in there has had some hiccups this year, has waited his turn for a while in this program to get this opportunity. And he ended up being the highest rated offensive lineman by Pro Football Focused. Zinter was the heart and soul of this offensive line, and the way this group rallied against an elite SEC defense is pretty remarkable. And we'll see if they can keep it going against Washington on January 8th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think coming into this game, and I said it, I don't know necessarily if you guys agreed, but like, I was hesitant to pick Michigan just because they had not done it on this stage yet. They needed to show me they could do it. And I think probably some fans thought the same thing, right? Like, it was, and you see the way they started slow and, the mistakes piling up and everything else. And just, I don't know. There's something about this team. There aren't necessarily a ton of like mega stars other than JJ. There's probably not another first round pick in this team. But you got a lot of guys that have just bought into what the coaches have been selling, the system, and you're seeing what winning does. Like, all that they could do, be doing all this stuff, and it necessarily wouldn't translate, wouldn't matter if you're not winning football games. And they've been able to do it nonstop the last 3 years. Yes, they had the hiccups the last 2 years in the playoffs, but to get over the hump and win in the Rose Bowl, win in that fashion, beat Alabama, right? Like, all week long, you heard the Big Ten SEC storyline. Can the Big Ten do it? They haven't been able to. The SEC is a better conference. And while I agree with a lot of that, Michigan showed that they can handle themselves in the big stage. They have built this program to be, to compete with the best of the best. And, next Monday night in Houston, they're going to have the opportunity against Washington.
I know bowl games are different besides the semifinals, and there's opt-outs and stuff like that, but it was hard to ignore the dominance SEC had against the Big Ten teams and even this year's bowl games. And it kind of backed up what we've seen all year, is that the Big Ten from top to bottom wasn't very strong. And I was a little bit concerned with that heading into the game, if Michigan was truly as battle-tested as Alabama. And in the end, it didn't really matter, and Michigan outplayed them. And I do think it's going to be a completely different game against Washington. I mean, Washington is features a heavy passing attack, and with Michael Penix and their trio of receivers they have. I mean, it's going to be the toughest test this Michigan secondary has faced all year. But yeah, I don't think their defense is nearly as good as Alabama. So I'm expecting a higher scoring game. And yeah, like you said, it was hard for me to pick Michigan without seeing them get it done on the big stage. And I'm still too early for our official predictions, but I'll definitely be leaning towards Michigan, I think, in the national championship. This team's accomplished so much. They've been able to overcome everything that's been thrown their way this year. I don't think there's anything slowing them down at this point. Now we get what a lot of people originally thought would be the semifinal matchup, Michigan versus Washington and potentially the Rose Bowl. Now we get it in the national championship instead. So it should be another matchup that's very intriguing.
I'm looking forward to it. And you got a lot of interesting angles to it. Michael Penix and Kalen DeBoer were at Indiana, and they played Michigan a few years back. You've got, like you said, the elite receivers for the Huskies. Rome Odunze arguably could have been, the Biletnikoff Award winner. Obviously it went to Marvin Harrison Jr., but statistically, I mean, he's one of the best in the country. I mean, Washington has two receivers with over 1,000 receiving yards, and you got an elite quarterback there. So I'm really curious to see how the Michigan secondary holds up. We'll get into it more, obviously, later this week once we get closer to the game and once we get to Houston. But it's an intriguing matchup. And then you've got guys on the Washington staff that were, former Michigan guys. Courtney Morgan, for instance, is over there as director of player personnel. He held the same role at Michigan just a few years ago. So Giles Jackson, I believe, is still on the roster there in Washington as well, former Michigan receiver. So there's a lot of interesting storylines. This is a Washington program that Michigan's relatively familiar with. They played, recently. And again, they're coming into the Big Ten next year too. So a lot going on. A big game ahead. As Blake Corum told me in the locker room after Monday night's game, we've said this from the get-go, it's Houston or bust this year. He made sure they got there, and sure enough, Michigan will arrive in Houston Friday looking to win one more game and win a national championship.
Yeah, we'll all be in Houston for that game, me, you, and Andrew, and we'll have plenty of coverage leading up to and at that game. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.